Okay, good vach. Thank you to everyone for coming, those who came from near and from far. Firstly, post number 3 Ashtani, we need to say thank you to Naftali and to Roy for arranging everything for the OJ Shabbos, for the OJ Shabbos Chabura, where everyone can come to learn Shabbos afternoon and enjoy. At the moment, we're learning sugyas of pears, different types, pureed pears, fruit juice, etc., and the brachas of them. And we learn at an unhurried pace, go through the Rishonim and try and see where the halacha, the now today's halacha, comes from, the Makuras.
We also get some drinks as well.
Tonight's sugya is, as everyone I'm sure knows, lab-grown meat. Lab-grown meat is actually not a new invention. It's been around since the 70s. I'm sure that Danny Epstein can help me with the science where I get it wrong. It's been around since the 70s, but it's only recently become more commercially viable for various reasons. And it's still not 100% at the stage of selling, though they are selling lab-grown mincemeat, I believe, in some Far East countries. It hasn't got FDA approval or any whatever the equivalent is here in England, the food office. But mincemeat is obviously easier than meat that needs structure. When we're looking at the lab-grown meat, I think that we can break down the shayla into four stages. The first question is, where are the original cells which the meat is being made from coming from? And what is the din of those cells? Are those cells kosher? Are they treif? Are they fleishik? Are they not fleishik? Etc. The second shayla is, when those cells grow and they split and they produce other cells, what happens then? Are the original cells, if they were treif, will they become bottled in rove or in shishim or whatever one needs? Or will we say, for whatever reason, that there won't be any bittel? The third stage, some poskim say that anything which scientifically is meat will have a din of meat. And as such, they tried to say that it would need also shechita. And how exactly it would have shechita is very difficult to work out. I heard one renowned posek has actually suggests that we could only take the stem cells from a behemoth which is still mefacheses, which is still not quite brain dead after shechita, so the original cells will have a din of being shochut. And the fourth shayla, which will come, is a problem of maris ayin. If one's eating, either let's say one's eating chazeflesh, or if one's eating a cheeseburger, which has both meat and milk, which scientifically is meat and milk, will that be a problem of maris ayin? And so we'll try and go through the problems in order and work out what the halacha is for each one. So the first problem, the first shayla which we're talking about, is where do the cells come from? So the original stem cells, which are the cells which are able to reproduce and create other cells, come in various different types with different potencies. Historically, they tried to get embryonic or placental stem cells because those stem cells are able to create all cells.
What's a stem cell? Sorry.
A stem cell is a cell of an organism which creates other cells. So organisms are made up of many different types of cells: muscle cells, fat cells, organs which aren't muscles, liver cells, etc., brain cells. They're all different types of cells. All these cells come originally from when a sperm fertilizes an ovum, and the ovum is one cell, the sperm is one cell. They join together and become one cell. They split, they become eight blastocysts, I think, and that's called something else. A zygote. They become a zygote, which is made up of blastocysts. Sounds a bit yeshivish. They become, and then they implant into a womb and they grow until eventually they grow into, they create, these blastocysts can create, they are called they're called totipotent stem cells. They can create all the stem cells in the body of whichever organism we're talking about. So these stem cells, totipotent stem cells, can create all organs in the body and placental cells, whereas pluripotent stem cells can create all the organs in the body but not placental cells. Placental cells are specific for their use, and they aren't able to be created by the stem cells which come into the human body. So the original place for taking stem cells for creating meat was from muscle, because inside every muscle there are stem cells which are being used to replenish the muscle cells. When muscle cells get torn with exercise and so on, muscle cells can get torn and they get rebuilt by the stem cells at all times. So we take these stem cells, and these stem cells are specialized. They create only muscle cells and I think also fat cells, unless it's different stem cells which create the fat cells, which will replenish the muscle. Now, of course, the meat that we eat is muscles. We eat the muscles of the behemoths. We don't eat normally most of the rest of them. So that's one mocker. If we're talking about taking muscle cells from a behemoth, then if we take them from a behemoth kashera before shechita, then it's going to have a problem of eiv min achai, and it's also going to probably be miti. If we take it after shechita, it's only going to be miti when we perform of eiv min achai. If we take muscle cells from a behemoth tmea, they will probably be just behemoth tmea. They won't have a problem of miti because there's no issue of batul cholav, and there's no issue of eiv min achai with behemoth tmea, but they will still be behemoth tmea, they'll be treif. So some people would like to suggest that these cells are microscopic, and because they're microscopic, maybe they don't have dinim, as the Chazon famously says about people walking around. They ingest, people, when we walk around, we ingest by breathing, with everything we eat, we ingest microscopic organisms, which would not be kosher were they not to be microscopic. But because they're microscopic, it doesn't give them dinim, enatar, nitin, malach, yasharis. The Chazon says that it's fine. This, the chur, is not a heta, because Rabbi Shlomo Zalman already says in Michah Shlomo, I can't remember what tshuva it is, he's talking about klaim, sorry, because when we machshiv them, when we make them significant by using them and taking them and dealing with them, that makes them significant, and therefore we can't use the heta of them not being choshev, because they are choshev, you're dealing with them. Chazanish says a very similar thing in Yodei Simon Yod Beis, which I'll be quoting a bit later. How can we eat live yogurt? Live yogurt is a bacteria which...
The bacteria, the organisms in the yogurt, they're alive. That's why it's live yogurt.
But are those bacteria treif?
No.
Why would you say? Why not? They're not sherets or sherets al aretz.
That means argue that even if you can't see them, once you're machshiv...
Yeah, but if they're treif, you're machshiv them, not the kasher. And if you matter them in the tree,
the bacteria in the yogurt are bacteria which naturally occur in milk. No? And the Torah was matter milk. So those bacteria, even though they may be alive, who says that they're also?
It wouldn't come under the same if you grow something from a bacteria in water, the water would
look. There's certain things which are treif. If you have a sheretz or sheretz al aretz, then that's treif. Now, microscopic organisms, which are sheretz al aretz, would be treif if they were not microscopic. Organisms which grow in water and they don't have a din, if they're not considered sheretz or sheretz al aretz, then they'd be kosher even if they weren't microscopic, I would assume.
If you know they're there and you're selling the water that's in the aquarium, then aren't you being
much of
those things?
You
know,
you don't want
them. Well.
The chur, when it's still in its microscopic state, then it's...
When
you make it big again, then it's not in its microscopic state anymore, so therefore you can't eat it.
But you started off with something that you ought to cut.
Okay, but once you make it big again,
you don't see this anyway either. The kind of problem with the Zalmans, the mice are running it, it's only Kiddush, but he's got no rive for it. There's no rive, we don't see a Gemara.
He has no rive for it.
The meat that falls out of the sky and the grain that came from...
I'm getting to that later.
Oh, right, sorry.
The meat which falls from the sky, we're getting to later.
You do have to come with some sort of terrace. No, you're saying that the terrace...
Well,
based on the Gemara, anyway. Based on the Gemara.
Well, no, there's only certain organisms which are definitely osed. For Shulchan, maybe talking about organisms which are osed. Let's say, I don't know exactly which organisms which would be treif otherwise. Now, if it's got a din of sheretz or sheretz al aretz, then it's treif. If it doesn't have a din of a behemoth, it doesn't have a din of a chai, it doesn't have any din at all, then it wouldn't be treif. You don't need to come onto it being microscopic to be matter it. So Rabbi Shlomo Zalman was talking about being markiv cells into other behemoths to make kilayim. I don't remember now. Was that what he was talking about? The Chazanish is talking. The Chazanish, I'll read out. I have here the lashon of the Chazanish when he says. He doesn't actually say it, but it's clear from. Should we leave the Chazanish for later? So I would assume the bacteria in yogurt are kosher anyway, because we are machshiv them. And if we are machshiv them, then they shouldn't have a din of being bottled. So I would assume that they don't have a din of sheretz, or sheretz al aretz. I think that amoebas probably also have no reason why they should be treif. Insects are treif. Midin sheretz or sheretz al aretz. Something that's not included in what the Torah asks us. Mechtei says it's osa. So what was the Aruch Shulchan referring to? I think he must be referring to... Are there microscopic insects?
Yeah, of course.
What he refers to is that they discovered not long before then, using microscopes...
Bacteria
in the water, organisms, not necessarily bacteria. Bigger organisms than bacteria, significantly larger. Because of the microscopes at the time, I didn't think they'd seen bacteria. But they see, there's various organisms in the water that they saw there. Various
prokaryotes. Amoebas and things like that.
Prokaryotes, they are...
So that's the same as the Shulchan, even though theoretically it is in the insect category, which the insect category would be Sheretz or Sheretz al Aretz. So then you would need to come, you'd need to come onto the Aruch HaShulchan for that. But organisms like bacteria and so on, one may not even need to come to the Aruch HaShulchan because for Torah purposes they're not traced to start with, even if they were they not to be microscopic.
Yeah, so the time that the mash of the cells when they put them in the solution.
When they take them out already, as soon as you're dealing with it, then we're not talking about being machshiv klapei bittel when you put it in something else. We're talking about whether it itself has any halachic significance. So when you take a cell and you put it into a medium which is going to help it grow, so you're taking that cell, you're saying, this is what I want, this is what I'm dealing with, this is what I want. And
someone drank it at that stage.
Sorry?
Someone drank the solution at that stage.
Oh, so that stage would very much depend... We're going to get to that also in a minute. Okay, so we're talking about the different places where one gets stem cells. The original way that which they made it back in the 70s was they took stem cells from muscles, which are called multipotent stem cells. They used the stem cells from muscles to grow using serum, which was derived from blood, to provide it with protein to grow more muscle cells. Now, it's important to... make note that the stem cells which come from the muscle are not the same as fibroblasts, which are the muscle cells themselves. They're different from the muscle cells themselves, and it seems to me, I'm sure that Dani can correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me from the research I've done that by the end process, the stem cells also themselves, not only do they create muscle cells, they also themselves change into muscle cells. Sorry? It's definitely true that it's shayach. Whether we have any stem cells left, if the original stem cells are left at all, is something which I actually sent an email to a professor who's dealing with it, and I haven't received a reply. I don't know if the original cells remain at all without changing into muscle cells.
All animals and humans have stem cells of sorts, but they can only change into one kind of cell. Plants, on the other hand, have original stem cells. So they can change. So when you're extracting stem cells from a human, you actually have to reverse the process so you can change them into any cell you want. Otherwise,
yeah. So that was discovered in 2007 by Shinya Yakamoto, who won the Nobel Prize in 2013 for his discovery that by injecting, using viruses four genes, which I can't remember the names of, into fibroblasts, you can return them to be totipotent stem cells, which can create all other types of cells of the organism that he was talking about. That's the third type of stem cells that we're going to talk about, which are called induced pluripotent stem cells, known as IPSS, IPSC. The second type of stem cells that we're talking about is placental and stem cells from embryos, which we need to be done on an embryo before it's been implanted into the rechem, where it has a din of being treif bichlal. It may have a din of pirusha ba'alma, because the Gemara, normally we find that yitzmin atomitomi with some things, but other things are pirusha ba'alma. For instance, the Gemara says that miraglaim shel chamor is kosher, because it's used for as medicine for yarokin, which is some sort of intestinal disease, and therefore it's kosher and it's considered pirusha ba'alma. Therefore, it doesn't have a din treif, even though it's yetzim min atomi. Other things which are yetzim min atomi, like dam, has its own issa, but other things which are yetzim min atomi, like the eggs. The milk, the Gemara learns out from a pasuk that it must be mutter, but only the milk of a kosher animal, not the milk of a treif animal. So milk of a treif animal has a din of yetzim min atomi tomi, whereas milk from a kosher animal has a din of eiv min atoher toher. The question which the Gemara needs to be matter is, why is it not have a din of eiv min achai, of bosom min achai? The bosom min achai doesn't have, because eretz of a scholar of dvash, or there's another reason originally in the Gemara thing, but the Gemara was maskana is because how could it be that there would be mishabeach eretz yisrael with something that we can't eat? So therefore, must be that cholov is mutter. So these stem cells, which are called blastocysts in the zygote, which is not yet implanted, I think it's quite poshut that they would have a din of pirusha ba'alma, because the main reason things don't have a din of pirusha ba'alma is because they have din of oichel. And the Chazanish says that the din of oichel is not actually to do with whether it's edible or not. As we see that the urine of chamorim is mutter, but the urine of susim is not mutter. When most likely there's very little difference in whether one is edible more than the other. The point is only that the urine of the chamorim is used as a medicine, and as such it's miyuchud for being drunk, whereas the urine of horses is not used as a medicine. It's not that it's a Shinei Hashem, it's that it's because it's Pirusha Ba'alma, it's just waste material. Something which has no osit is considered waste material. Something which comes out and is a food is not normally considered waste material, except for the urine of the donkeys, which needs to be
worked out. So
a placenta, there's two gemaras. There's one gemara which says that the placenta of a chamor is mutter.
Why do we need to get onto
to be
tommy
eaten?
Animals?
Sorry.
Why do we need to get onto tommy animals?
Because it's very interesting. The gemara in Chulin seems to say that the placenta of a kosher animal needs shechita. It says a sheichet a behemah motzo b'shilya. Sorry, then it would have a din of ben pakur, then it would be mutter. But it's mashma in the Gemara that without having the din of shchitas imi mitarase, it wouldn't be mutter. So there's a steer that the poskim speak very. The Chazanish actually is chiluk and says that the whole Gemara in Pachiris, which says that the shilia of the chamor according to Rashi, Chazanish is chiluk on Rashi and says that's not chat in the Gemara. In order to say that the shilia should be asa, but according to what. How we're going to say, you could say very simply that once the shilia comes out and it has no further use and it's rubbish, then it could be considered pirusha ba'alma. And if it's pirusha ba'alma, it doesn't have a din of being osa. Whereas when it's still inside and it's being used and it's part of the mareches, which is connecting the vlad to the be'ema, then it's being used and it's still choshev. It doesn't yet have a din pirusha ba'alma. So the question is,
why don't you add pirusha ba'alma to the urine of the horse?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure why the urine of the horse. I had a mistake with it. I'm not sure why the Gemara's machalik between the two. It seems that the fact that it's roi l'achila makes it more likely. It's used for the medicine, makes it more likely to be mutter, and I'm not sure why that is. So
that would
it works against. Yes. It seems that it has a din. The Chazanish reads ois that urine, even though we find it disgusting, that doesn't mean it's not roi l'achila. Dreil achille is whether it's edible or not. And as such, it's considered edible. It is considered a food, even though we would never eat it because we have ideas about where it came from. It's not nice for us. But really, it's a liquid like any other liquid. And if you'd package it in a Coke bottle and say it's Coke, then we might never know. Probably we've just never got to that stage. Sorry, I haven't put you off your Coke. As such, so there are some things which are Pesha Ba'alma, normally things which have no use at all. They're irrelevant, are considered Pesha Ba'alma. As such, most normally the ovum, they can create these stem cells in the lab by artificially in vitro fertilization, which will then create the stem cells because they're taking them in a case. So they could take an ovum and a sperm, join the two together, and they would create in the lab the fibroblasts, which they would then use to create muscle meat. In which case, the zera itself, it's clear in the Gemara that it's considered pirsha in Avodah Zarah Daf Samaches. And the ovum, most likely, if it comes out unfertilized, is definitely considered pirsha because it has no use. If one takes them out once they are fertilized, interestingly enough, the ovum is most likely not microscopic as well, even though it's a single cell. It seems like the ovum is about 0.1 millimeters. Smaller than a full stop, but still visible cell to the naked eye. Huh?
I think it's the largest cell.
It's the largest cell, and it's visible to the naked eye. The third type of stem cells, which are the stem cells which will most likely be being used commercially, are the induced pluripotent stem cells, which are what Mr. Epstein's son was talking about, which was a discovery which won the Nobel Prize in 2013, so it's a very new idea, and that's where they take skin cells from the animal, which the skin of an animal does not have a din of being treif ever because it's not really l'achila at all. They then change it so it will have a din of ponim chadoshes balukan, and it will also, even were it to have been osser to start with, most likely when they reset it to be a blastocyst, to be a pluripotent stem cell, it will have changed entirely. It changes its entire tsura microscopically as well. And then with that, they will use it to create, they put it in a bath of protein, which has to be carefully selected nutrients, and they're not yet sure which are the best nutrients to use. And that will then grow to make muscle and fat cells.
I know we're talking mainly about meat, but chicken, interesting enough. So you can eat the skin, you can't eat the feathers, but you can.
So with chicken, there was never a problem because you can take the cells from an egg. Chicken egg is kosher parv. If you take the cells from an egg which has not yet become a chick, in fact, the Gemara in Tamura says that the halacha is that a chicken which is born from the baits of a treifa, which is baits of a treifa is osa because it's yetzmin atomi, but a chicken which is born from the treifa is mutter. From the chicken, the egg of a treifa is mutter because there's a stage in between where it becomes ein ra'i la'achila entirely within the egg before it becomes into the chicken. So we can probably being a ra'i from there that the same process of becoming after the fertilization, before it becomes starts growing into an animal, is most likely also considered afra ba'alma, as the lashon of the Gemara and the Rishonim is there in Tamura, and therefore even if one takes a fertilized egg before it's implanted from an animal, most likely it will not have a din of being roi la'achila, and as such it will most likely be mutter. Similar to that stage in the chicken's life. Yeah. Now I'm not sure if it's exactly the same process. Sorry?
Chicken
cheeseburgers.
Chicken cheeseburgers.
I can see you've done your research into it.
Yeah, but that will be noted later on. The whole Maris Ayin thing.
Yeah, Maris Ayin is only a temporary problem anyway. It was. Exactly. So maybe you come join me.
Does it make a difference what nutrients are used to grow the wheat?
It may be that it makes a difference. Okay, so we have basically three different four different types of stem cells which can be used. If the stem cells which are being used are from the muscles, then one needs to check and make sure that it's from a shechted behema or from a kosher behema. If, however, we're using stem cells which are not from the muscles, we're using stem cells which have either been taken from the skin and have been reprogrammed to become, or we've taken embryonic stem cells from before the embryo is able to be recognized as an embryo, before it's implanted when it's still blastocyst, or you've taken the stem cells from the blastocyst himself, then most likely the stem cells will be kosher and there'll be no problem with the stem cells themselves. Then we can come on to the next stage.
Even if you take from skin cells, even from the novella or non-kosher animal?
I believe so.
No, the only reason I bring that up is because the whole machlokas is about gelatin made from skins.
Is there really a machlokas?
Well, there was.
Reb Chaim Oizer was Mati.
The Moshe Feinstein said only from geschachtene animal. Reb Ari Yosef, the Chaira, said that you can make it from anything. Because he said that once they make the gelatin from the skin, the skin's anyway not right. Like
they made it from bones. Was it not made from the bones?
That was a different shit if they made it from crushed bones, because the bones got these, they didn't have eaten varvonin. Therefore, the gamma, you haven't got a problem.
You haven't got a problem at all. And the
but
skin of.
Everybody holds like that. And the skin, the argument from Radio Yosef was because they crush it into powder.
So there's a stage in between where it has
it's
not really.
It doesn't have. It's got panchadoshes. That was an answer.
So that depends on the machlekas about musk.
The whole machlekas of revolution was because the whole time of revolution was that because during the processing of the skin into gelatin, part of the process involved putting in the hydrochloric acid. Therefore, so at that stage. It wasn't royal achina, never mind what it was made of, because it's in hydrochloric acid. Mm-hmm. Even though after it's reconstituted into a viable food product. Even though it was reconstituted after it's into a viable food product, since at what stage it was sitting in hydrochloric acid.
Why did Ramesha say it has to come from a geschachtene behema? As far as I know, kimat all the poskim peachod were mate the gelatin. And they said only to be machmir because we can get hold of it. The Achiezer was mate and the Chazanish was mate.
The hard bones of Reb Chaim Oizer.
Sorry?
The Baron Kotler. And Moshe is all on the shots and handles, but I don't know why.
So I have to find why. I do know that Osher Westheim was quite dismissive of the shitta that it needs to be from kosher animals, and even so, he would only give a hechshon the gelatin from the kosher animals. So
kosher.
He himself held that definitely it's mutter even from treif animals, but he wouldn't give a hechshon on products which had gelatin from treif animals in them.
Is it meaty if you have from a kosher animal? It's considered meaty.
So that depends on the same shayla. So they make it nowadays from fish, so it's not considered meaty. So they sort that out as well. The gelatin shayla, as far as I know, I didn't remember that Ramosha was machmi. I think I did know that Rabban Kotler was machmi, but I think that the tzad in the poskim that there's yesh mal hachmi is not a very strong tzad. Definitely the.
Yeah.
I mean,
from their tiny, that because it's been processed through.
But there wasn't really achila to start with. If it comes from the bones, then it wasn't really achila. If they take it from.
Cooked soup out of the skin, it might be revolting, but it still have time with the skin.
But that's not. It's not considered. It's a Mefusha Gemara that anything which is not a machal which comes out is not trace.
Yesh Megidim Benos and Tam. I think it's in. Where is it, Shah?
No, if Ein Begidim Benos and Tam, then it's Ka'id's Baal, the Gemara says. Yeah?
So Gemara, whether if you have flavour in it, if it does, then you can't have it. If it has any type of flavour.
Even if not, that's. The Gemara about the Betas Trefa, the chicken which was born from the Betas Trefa, which the Gemara says that it becomes Afra Ba'alma in the middle. Yeah, the Gemara Tmur Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. It's clear over there that because it became Einu Roi La'achila, which Pashtus over there it was possible to be eaten. You could swallow it. It's just not considered an Eichel in the middle that made the Trefa not, but take away the din of Yitzmin Atomi. The Chor would apply to gelatin as well. And it's probably one of the rays that I brought. I haven't looked into Sefer Fidelitin for a long time. I was planning to look up the Achiezer again before the Shia, but I haven't had time. We move on to the second stage. The stem cells are then put into a bath of protein, which can be made from various different things. There's one company in Etisol is making the protein bath from rosemary, which will be definitely mutter. Most
chocolate.
Huh? Not rosemary chocolate, rosemary as in the plant rosemary.
You say protein bath?
Yeah, a bath of protein. It needs to receive its nutrients from proteins. They absorb the proteins and they split and they create other cells. One splitting. They grow and they split.
What difference does it make?
Sorry?
What difference does it make?
Well, if you use serum, which is blood, it's blood which has been taken various things out of it, but it is blood, then it would make a difference that the Gemara says, and also in Tumorot of Lamed Aleph, that a behemoth, which has entirely, it's been fed cholav roseach meboika leboika from a behemoth tmeah, it's only eaten dvorim tmeim for its entire life, is not royal gabi mizbeach. And Tosfos says there that alponov nira that it was also osura ba'achila. And there are more paskins in Simch Samach in Yerodea that the behema which has only eaten treifa zachen is not kosher la'achila. It's a halacha which people don't know, partly because the Shach and the Prichodosh very much don't like the idea that that the Ramah is talking about Dvarim HaSurim with La'achila. They think that the Ramah only means if it's eaten Dvarim HaSurim Ba'anah. But the Ramah clearly was talking even about Dvarim HaSurim Ba'achila, and therefore it's Pashtas and Machlekas, the Ramah, with the Shach about whether a behema, which has only ever been fed from Dvarim HaSurim, would be mutter to eat or not. The Ramah holds its asa, the Shach and the Prichodosh holds its mutter. And it will definitely be Yesh Makom La'achme when the Ramah is on the side to be Machme.
So as long as it's not roi, you can still grow it on a trefa medium. As long as it's not roi,
as long as it's not roi la'achila, then it could continue to be grown on a trefa medium if it remains not roi la'achila. But at some process, some point in that process, it does become roi la'achila.
As long as it's not roi, as long as you stop it.
I would think that the roi is. I would think that Rove is almost definitely, I don't know, maybe you know more about it, I would think that Rove is almost definitely Roi La'achila, because the muscle cells, as soon as they are created, they'll be considered Roi La'achila, even if they're not yet exactly in the right places.
They also use very commonly fetal bovine serum.
Yes, then, which is a problem of dumb.
You've got a serious, well, whatever it is, that's going to constitute a major factor in the growth of the muscle, whether it's going to be, ultimately, it will be absorbed, and be responsible for the growth of the cells. Now, what are you going to say? That it's a maimed or something?
So that's the next stage, is we're going to talk about maimed. There's the sugya of, first of all, that's what we're saying. So that you have the serum, which is blood, or you have vegetative matter, which was lechorim mutter, and you can use either of them. The protein, the cells eat up the protein and they split off, and in order to create muscle, then it needs to have a certain structure. So they create a framework, a scaffold, out of protein, which is commonly used. They may use soy protein to create a scaffold, which will direct the cells to be created in the right pattern in order to be a steak. Correct? And I think this soy scaffold remains in the product at the end, but because it's so small, you can't feel it or taste it. So one needs to know the soy scaffold, kipshuto, would be mutter because it's also vegetable matter. But it depends on the process of how it's made. If it could have stabilizers and stuff put in, which if they're not roi la'achila, again, it will be mutter. But the soy scaffold will definitely have a din of mamid. Question is whether the original cell itself has a din of mamid and whether the protein which it's growing from has a din of mamid. Now, if people aren't familiar with the din of mamid, there's a din that mamid is a filo be'elef blue bottle. We learn it out from being mamid cheese, to make cheese, with they used to take the skin of the stomach of a cow, which has in it an enzyme called rennet, which is used to make cheese. Now, the enzyme is a catalyst which causes a reaction in the milk, which causes the milk to curdle, and the milk becomes cheese. Now, this enzyme, if it has in it tambosa, and it puts tambosa into the cholov, then that would be a problem. So the Gemara says that with Bosa B'cholov it's not a problem, even though it's a mamid, because the Torah was Megala that Bosa B'cholov, it depends on tam. But if it was from the stomach of an Avela, then it is also because then there isn't a vele, it's considered mamed, even though it's compared to the amount of cheese you've made from it, it's nothing, it's there's no thing. But because the Radvaz is masbir that the Sfara is, that when you look at cheese, you can see that the enzyme has been at work here. So you can't say that something which you can see is bottle. You see it's pu'ula, it's bottle. So
not mamish enough with this cattle. Because the remnant is a catalyst. So it catalyzes
100%, it's different. But the svar of the Radvaz would apply to the soy scaffold,
well,
correct?
It still doesn't say what the difference is.
Well,
unless you want to say that because normal meat doesn't have.
It's not giving the time to the. It's just a scaffold. It's not giving the time to the.
100%, the rennet doesn't give time to the cheese.
No, but the soy is not catalyzing the process either.
But it's creating the structure.
Without the soy, you won't get a steak, you'll get a hamburger. Or mincemeat.
You get mincemeat.
With a scaffolding, then you can control the direction of the fiber growth of the muscles.
It also affects the space which they're in, also affects what muscles they change into.
Yeah.
The external factor, what space it has to grow into, affects what cell it changes into.
Yeah.
So that's similar to the catalyst.
It's not mummish. See, with the catalyst, it's an actual part of the process. But the catalyst is not participating in the chemical process. It's merely facilitating it or making it more efficient.
Yeah, this is why I like to bring the Sfar of the Radvaz, so that we can understand more with the Sfar of the Radvaz. The Radvaz explains that Mamed is because it's Nika, because you can still see it. So when you can still see it, that's the way I would normally understand Mamed. If you can see that it's been done, even though you can't see what was causing it, but you can still see the effect. The fact that you see the effect means that it can't be bottle.
Any mamid on the vela or anything else?
Sorry, we apply it on all the serum except for basar b'chalav. And basar b'chalav, which was already basar b'chalav before it became a mamid, you would also apply it. It's only when pashtus. Actually, I'm not sure about that. Now, there's a gemara in Nedarim about gedulei Issa. There's Nafmina Kilayim, there's Orla, Gedule Issa, there's a Machlikas, there's a Sophic in the Gemara about whether Gedulim Malin Esso Ika. Gedulim Malin Esso Ika means that the growth, which is Muta, theoretically, can it be changed the Ika, the Shurish, which was Asa, to become like it and become Muta or not? So the Rosh learns the Pshat in the Gemara. Sorry?
Give an example.
I can give an example. If you took a branch of Arla, a branch from an Arla tree, and you grafted it into a tree which wasn't Arla, then the pears which are on the tree, even though they continue, the pears which are still on it, even though they continue growing, the Ica is also because it was Arla, but the growth which grows afterwards is not Arla anymore. So the question is whether the growth, which is not Arla, can be make the Ika into not Arla Alidei Bittel or not. So the Rosh learns that the Shaila is only about the Ika, whether the thing which was originally Asa remains Asa. The Ran learns that the Shaila is also about the Gedulim, because if the Ika is not bottled, then it will make the Gedulim also Asa. The Shulchan Aruch paskens. The Pasha Pshat in Shulchan Aruch is like the Rosh, but the Gon says that the Shulchan Aruch means the Pasan like the Ran. The Shach, the Pasha Pshat in Shulchan Aruch is definitely like the Rosh. The Gon also says that it's Mashma like the Rosh, but the Halach is like the Ran, so must mean like the Ran. So the Anafmina would be whether the Gedulim are also. The Nativ, when he explains the Sugya, he asks what happened to Mamid. According to the Manda Omar, who holds that Gedulim Einu Malim is Amokah, the Shoyosh, which they're growing from, is the Mamid. It's creating them. It's standing behind them. It's creating them. What happened to Mamid? So Nativ says, sorry?
What's the problem?
What's the problem? Because it is the Shoyosh. This fruit had to come from the smaller fruit. It's not possible for the big fruit to come without the smaller fruit. So you see the pull of the small fruit in the big fruit. Or a plant has to come from the seeds. If the seeds were Asa, there may be din of the karka being mevatel them, so that's why I spoke about the fruit.
Well, they'll get every single fruit, always the order.
No, the fruit which come from the tree after the tree is not Arla anymore. They entirely grow. The tree changes after 3 years to be netter vai, and then after 4 years it becomes muta. So the tree is now muta. Any fruit which come out after that are not coming from the Arla. It's only the fruit which were Arla because they grew from a tree in a tree which is less than 3 years old, and then they got moved onto a tree which is muta. So these fruit themselves have the small part of them, which is Arla, and the rest of them isn't Arla. Another example in the Shulchan Aruch is if a plant was uprooted before Hakrovas HaOmer and then replanted after Hakrovas HaOmer, then the new growth will be Chodosh. This is backwards, because the new growth is Chodosh, and the old growth is Mutter. What am I up to?
Otherwise, not man with the...
Yeah, so the Nativ says that the reason it's not Maimed is because you have a Matzav Avzev Zegorim. Because with everything that's growing, you have nutrients which come from the fruit itself, through the branch, and you have nutrients which are coming from the air. And the chlorophyll, which is providing energy through photosynthesis, and so on. So therefore, you will always have a Din of Zev Zegorim. And when you have a Din of Zev Zegorim, then it won't have a Din of Maimed. So therefore, Lechor, in our case also, when you look at the cell itself having been Asa, then you won't say it's Asa because it has the serum which is helping it to grow. And if you look at the serum, then you wouldn't say it. This is actually also a Machlekas in the Sugya of Zev Zegorim, whether you say Zev Zegorim in a case where Zeinu Yochel, if each one can't do it by themselves, the Shach holds that... The shachol that when each one cannot do it by themselves, then it's lekul alma still got a din mamid. But the Taz and Kipshuta the Modcha also hold that it doesn't have a din mamid anymore, even though zayni yochol. That's the machlikas in the Gemara, and therefore the psak would be that according to the shach, it would still be osa mishum mamid, but according to the Taz, it would be muta. Moving on, sorry, this is a bit of, I've lost you all there. Moving on, we now get to things which are more simple, easier to understand. The next shaila is that if you have something which chemically, physically is indistinguishable with whatever tests you do from it, it's indistinguishable from meat. So Rav Asher Weiss Shlita holds that it has a din of meat. And spoke about it, Barichas, that as soon as it looks like meat, it is meat. He says it definitely would be meat. He brings various makaris. One of the makaris is from the Gemara says that Elisha created Shemen with the issue that she was poor, she didn't have what to feed her son, and she poured Shemen. And the Medrash says that this Shemen did not need Trumas and Marisas taken from it. Sorry, this is one of the makaris the other way. So they say that it doesn't have trumos or maris, it doesn't need trumos or maris, it must be that it's mutter. So the Malbim somewhere says that that didn't have trumos or maris because the original shemen had already been maised. So if the original shemen had already been maised, then the shemen which comes from it would also have a din of being maised. Rav Asher Weiss quotes a famous shayla Rav Chaim Soloveitchik apparently asked, which he says Rav Chaim Soloveitchik never asked, on the shemen of the Nes Chanukah. If the shemen of Nes Chanukah was Misrabe, if you say that it doesn't have a din of shemen, shemen Zayezoch, it doesn't have a din of shemen, it's just a creation which looks and exists like shemen, then... how can they be yitz of the din of hadlokas haner? So Rav Asher Weiss Lishitoso holds that avada has a din of shemen. He says Rav Chaim never asked it. It can't be that. Right. Yeah, it's not definitely because it comes from. Also, the pashtus of the nest was that the small amount of shemen lit for 9 days. Not that it was extra shemen created. Mechtesa that was extra shemen created.
This is aside from the whole problem that the whole nest chanukah is not mentioned in Rishalmi, and we don't talk about it in Alamisim.
Yeah.
There's only got one thing in the Babri. Leaving all that aside, it's irrelevant because there was no chiyuv to light menorah.
Someone's not lighting menorah.
There's no chiyuv to light menorah.
They had no chiyuv to light menorah. The reason they lit it in the first place was. Because they were in the process.
And they didn't light it in the Heichal and they didn't have the menorah. The Gemara in Menachos says that they lit it in the chatzah. That's why we say he'd likenei it bechatzah iskotshecha. Because they themselves were tomei. The Gemara in Menachos says that they made it from bats. They made the menorah from bats to light in it. And heshiu and asim shel kesef heshiu and
shel. The question:
what
they used? They could have used the spears and taken it off.
So okay, all this is for another shear. That's not the best he's got. So then,
I had to write for him from the Chesh of Ephraim with pirates.
Pirates?
Yeah, because when it came out, people were timing stuff.
That's not glass.
It's got very high content, or very high metallic content. The Chesh of Ephraim.
Pirates. Not pirates.
Glass and smells like glass and tastes like glass. It's glass.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it's not a belay.
Okay, and that's also not really a riot, but.
What about the plant based belay? It looks like meat, it tastes like meat.
No, but it's chemically different to meat. So let's go on to the Gemara, the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, which Rabbi Dani mentioned earlier about. The Gemara says that.
Master's got a very shag.
Go on.
So, with fake cheese or vegan cheese. Yeah. If it looks like cheese, smells like cheese, and tastes like cheese,
and melts like,
doesn't taste and like, melts like cheese, therefore it must be cheese.
But you put it in a lab. The point of is he's saying if you put it in a lab, you can see that its chemical composition is different from cheese.
Under microscope, it doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't. He's what he's saying is this meat. You put it in a lab, it is meat. It's the same. It's indistinguishable with any process because it is exactly the same thing.
It's not a good imitation. It is.
Yeah. It's not just whatever they say on the Coke bottles back again. You know, if it looks like Coke, it tastes like Coke, it must be Pepsi.
It would be an exact imitation, but it wouldn't be precisely that, because when they cloned, I don't know what the sheep was called.
Dolly.
When they cloned Dolly the sheep, right? The clone died unusually young, because all your cells have basically a life to them. So no matter how many times you clone them, you'll only get a certain amount of mileage out of them. So your meat will have a lower shelf life.
So it'll be like an old steak.
It'll be like an old steak, precisely.
But an old steak is also a steak.
You're talking about telomeres. You're talking about telomeres,
that's not
mitochondria, whatever. That's not
inherited. I don't think that... I'm not sure. I think that... I don't know. I can't answer you about Dolly. Not the original Dolly or the original sheep Dolly. No, the clone was called Dolly. The clone was called Dolly after a famous singer. Back to the meat. Where we are up to? Yeah, so he says that. So there's a famous Gemara that Adam Rishon was Yeshev in Gan Eden and he was being fed meat. The Malachim came and brought him meat and wine. And the Gemara says.
For his wedding.
Sorry?
For the wedding.
So the Gemara says that he's not allowed to eat meat. The Gemara says, where did he have meat from? And the Gemara says the meat was Yerid Min HaShemayim. So the Gemara says, and is there such a thing as meat which comes from Shemaim? The Gemara says, over Ma'is, Rav Shim ben Chalafta was walking along, and a pride of ravenous lions attacked him. So he said, the pasuk Kfirim Shagim LaTorif, the lions are shouting out for, the baby lions are shouting out for food. Ulvakish Me'il Ochlam, promptly two pieces of meat fell from Shemaim in front of these ravenous lions. They ate one of them, and Rav Shimon Chalafta, never one to pass up an opportunity, picked up the other piece of meat, took it to Beis Medrash, and asked, what's the din of this meat? So the Gemara says, therefore, there is meat min HaShemaim. So they told him in the Beis Medrash that Ein Dov Tomei Yerid min HaShemaim. Nothing that comes from the heavens is Tomei. So he asked, and what about if it would have been looked like a donkey? And they said, we've told you, Ein Dov Tomei Yerid min HaShemaim. Even if it looked like a donkey, it would still not be a Dov Tomei. So one could see from here that lechur, even if you have something that looks like a donkey, tastes like a donkey, is a donkey.
One's God-made, one's man-made. Maybe
they
don't
do
another full
album,
should
they? Maybe. But the Gemara says... Sorry? Oh, then the Gemara goes on to talk about Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah is not a Shaila. Sefer Yetzirah is...
You can't use a candle anyway. Because the price of the candle has an idea that the Rebbeza made the tree go, saying the roof opened up, the screen flew back, there's a Christmas, a whole bunch of things happened. The Menachanal says, it says quite clearly that the whole thing was a column. One of the Talmidim in the base of Medesh had this column.
Mm-hmm.
He told over the column, and that was the whole Meisah. They asked him, why didn't the Morris say it was a column? He said, because in those days, they felt Chalim was correct from the Dias. And since the whole purpose of the Machoikas of the Gemara was just to reinforce the point that...
But they put him in Nidui.
Just a second. The whole point of the Gemara was...
The Gemara says that they Soklu is Kivri, yeah?
And he concludes the HaChalimus, the Chalimus HaShavi Dabeira. As I said to Doc, I can't help you. Something else might have happened. What could have happened is it could have been triggered off by the Machoikas of Rebbe Lezer and the Chacham because he came up with this patent of the Tano of Achnoi.
Okay, but the Loch of the Tano of Achnoi is the Loch is like the Chacham that is Torah.
That's because of the.
That's the Halacha. So the Halacha which comes in Chonami, but the Halacha which the Gemara says remains the Halacha no matter whether the reason is because. The reason of the Gemara was Zachar Abin Hattis also. The Maaseh is just saying that it didn't help all the Raya's against Zachar Abin Hattis.
They're dealing with a hypothetical.
Here, the Gemara says that if something falls from Shemaim, then it will be Mutter. Now, whether that could happen or not, that's... Maybe it will never happen. Maybe it never happened. Maybe it didn't happen. It did happen. I believe it happened. The Gemara says it happens most likely. It did happen. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan says it's a Cholim also. But the Gemara says a Halacha, and the Halacha is correct. That if it would happen... Similar to what Rav Hirsch says about the letter of Rav Hirsch, that Rav Hirsch wrote about the Achbo Shechat Yadoma. Yeah? The Gemara speaks about whether the Achbo, which is Chat Yadoma, has an inner of Tumor Tara. Yeah? So, everyone goes, oh, Gewalt, how could there be such a thing? It doesn't make sense for such a thing to exist. Why is the Gemara talking about it? Rav Hirsch says maybe it never existed, but Pliny writes about it. If Pliny wrote about it, then the Gemara wants to discuss what the halacha is. If this would happen, the Gemara says this is the halacha. So therefore we see that there is possible something which looks like a donkey, tastes like a donkey, acts like a donkey, and isn't a donkey. Yeah, Rav Moshe Feinstein also in Dibros Moshe over there on the Gemara says that it cannot be that it would have had a din bosa for two reasons. I think he only says one reason. Because if it would have a din bosa, it would need simoni kashrus. It doesn't have split hooves, this bosa, which fell from a shemaim. It was a piece of meat. It doesn't chew the cud. If it doesn't have split hooves, it doesn't chew the cud, it must be treif. So he says it must not be bosa. That raya of Rav Moshe Feinstein, the chur, would apply to our meat also.
To bring that as a raya would be a bit questionable, because if you're talking about in terms of molecular structure, you don't know if that meat had molecular structure of meat, or when it came to in the case of cheese, it has a molecular structure of soy, which just is
being altered. I agree with you 100%. I think Moshe Weiss is incorrect in his Ofani Tachas Raglov, but I think he's incorrect in his Harocha also, because over here you have the soy scaffold which is inside it, and it's definitely, if you take it to the lab, you can see which is which. Yeah, you put it under a microscope, you can see which is which, and he thinks you can't. But even if he is correct in his premise, he would still be wrong, because this one isn't meat.
Without the soy scaffold, you'd essentially have meat you'd have mincemeat, but it's of very similar...
It would be similar consistency to mincemeat, but it would be very different. It would still be different, because it wouldn't have the same fibers as the mincemeat does, just for the cut. Whereas in this case, it wouldn't have it.
The only thing that would be different, really,
the excellent meat product.
Yeah,
such
the structure would be different.
No, 100%.
It's a butcher. You might take one look at that. Even mincemeat, you might say, this stuff is weird.
Yeah, but it's like a question of...
Dechagav, this company, Aleph Farms in Eretz Yisrael, that make it, they did taste testing to people, and every single person that did the taste test said that the fake meat was the meat, and the real meat was the fake.
You also have problems there. It's a separate... Rather, they don't use fecal bovine serum.
They use rosemary. They use rosemary for it, not the chocolate. Aleph, as in the first letter of the alphabet. Aleph Farms. It was the scientist I sent an email to is Professor Levenberg.
Yeah,
She's involved in that company.
The
Heimer Sugar Show. You can expect these things to have Heimer Sugar involved. Sorry? So there's Sefer Yetzirah. So it's very interesting because Rafaim Grimblatt and River Tefraim Chelek Zayin, he's mechalik between Sefer Yetzirah and Nofam and Hashemayim. But Nofam and Hashemayim does not have a Din Meat. Which way around is it? He brings Uriah. Number one, the Gemara says that Rav Acha and Ravina would create a Negel Tilsa with Sefer Yetzirah. And Malbim says that Avram Avinu created a cow, the cows which he provided to the Malachim with Sefer Yetzirah, and that's why it didn't have a din of Bosa B'Cholov. And the Shiloh says about the Shvatim that the Shvatim ate a behema which was created with Sefer Yetzirah, and therefore wouldn't have a problem of Eva Min HaChai. And this is all very problematic because they all associate each other.
The point I was making before about the time of Achanai is the reason you can't bring it. If all you have is an Agadata, you have a serious problem.
Yes.
You need to have, if you've got, when, because afterwards they had the Machlokes anyway.
But when they put the Gemara Paskins a Halacha, then the Halacha is a Halacha no matter whether the Gemara which
comes.
In the case when they told him, Dov Ein Dov Tomi Yerid Min
HaShemayim.
In the cases of Sefer Yetzirah.
The thing, all they were saying was that it's not Shayach to have a Dov Tomi from Shemayim.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they were saying. But in the case of the Sefer Yetzirah, these Gemara's going to make Igna Tilsa and with the other ones, so on and so forth. These are just like adjectives. And to bring a ride from there is very problematic. So you can see how easy it can be Dovik. Rabbi Chanal does this, you know.
Yes.
You try.
Well, it's not without even trying. I mean,
without the
one has to understand. I mean, we treat the Gemara as canon, and anything after the Gemara is not canon. But the Gadatas, when Rabbeinu Chananel is what they say about Rabbeinu Chananel, got called Vav Divrei Kabbalah because he was the first from the door after the Ga'onim, where the Ga'onim, everything, all the entire halach of learning was Kabbalah Ish Mipi Ish. So
Malbim,
most likely...
You've got the Malbim and you've got the Ramchal as well. They both penned essays about this thing, and this is about the Midrashim and the Gadata.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not more than poshut what's going on from the Gadata, then they say it's either written for a specific time or for a specific group of people or for a specific group of people in a specific time. And the time of that's what I'm saying is that if you don't have the Gemara came to Maskana this side with a mouse that was half earth and half mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Then they come to Maskana. It's irrelevant what the facts are of the actual facts. It's hypothetical they dealt with, they came up with a psak.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Gemara doesn't come to Maskana that because Adam Rishon ate this cow, this calf that he made, or the Avram with the Malachim and so on and so forth, a lot of rites come from the with this
side
of the Kabbalah. There's no Maskana there, not in the Medrash, not in the Gemara.
Yeah.
So it's you can't bring the Maisa as the Rai, that's what I'm saying, not the Maskana of the Gemara.
100%. It's very difficult to bring Raya's to this Yisod. So we probably the best way we have to treat it is to use our Seichel to try and work out what the Halacha should be. And that's part of what I'm saying. That's foreign. Part of what I'm saying is that even were he to be correct, that something which is scientifically indistinguishable from meat would have a din of meat, I think that these things all are scientifically distinguishable because their structure will always be different. It will never be a perfect copy. And as such, you'd always be able to tell the difference, and therefore you won't have the din of meat.
The only way you can tell the difference between, let's say, an artificial lab-grown steak and a real steak, even if you're a mumcha, even if you're a chef, in one of the world's top
with chefs, a microscope.
The only way to test it, even with a microscope, they won't
you'll see the scaffold.
Even a mumcha can tell you with the right equipment. This is lab grown.
Okay, but that's still enough to say it's not the same thing.
It's a bureau. You're arguing that it's a bureau.
Yeah.
It's like me taking mince meat, because essentially what's happening is you're getting exactly the same meat. It's just like if you take a steak and grind it up, it's got different structure to a steak that's not being ground up, but it is completely identical, right? So
they have to have the fat in.
There has to have the fat.
They don't have the fat, right?
Okay, I think we should continue the discussion later because the Olam are getting tired and we need to get a move on. So basically, so Rav Asher Weiss holds that because of this it will have it in meat and it will be also b'cholov, and he holds also it would need shechita, and therefore you need to take it from a geshochna behema and from a boset, from a behema tmeah, it will be treif, which is obviously going to be the conservative point of view. But if we could be chiluk on his anocha, which many poskim are chiluk on his anocha, and whether his svara is correct at all, is definitely there's a lot to be done about. And as such, we could be matir bosom cholov and behemot meir. There will obviously be one last problem, which is that apart from the Maris Ayin problem, which, as you said so nicely earlier, that the Rabbeinu Staibishit says that as soon as it becomes widespread, then there's no point, there's no Maris Ayin anymore, because people who look at it do not assume that it's Bosom Cholov, they think it's lab grown meat Bacholov, and there's also going to be able to put packaging next to it, like the Marsham is matter to put the packaging next to it. So if you go to eat in a restaurant which is providing only stem cell lab grown meat, then you'll be fine with Tzad Maris Ayin, and therefore it will become Nofutz. And once it becomes Nofutz and everyone knows about it, there's not going to be a problem with Maris Ayin anymore. That will be able to be matter it. However, the only problem which remains is the problem which of Rabbi Osher Weiss, if he's correct. And that problem, he suggests taking the meat from a stem cell of a behemoth which has already been shechted, in which case you'll be able, which I think is very, very difficult scientifically to do, because it needs to be that the stem cells are still alive when you take it, so it has to be within a very short time after the shechita.
Alec claimed that that's what they're going to do.
That's what they're doing. That's what they're going to do. But I think most Rabbanim, definitely, I think Rabbi Shreis will get overruled eventually in this case, and most Rabbanim are going to say that it's going to be mutter. You will have to, that's what I think. Whether I can, I'm not a Novi, so I don't know. It does seem to me that most likely it's mutter, and as such, we'll be able to be mate behemot meir, and we'll be able to be mate cheeseburgers, etc. Whether will actually ever come lemaisa, I can't tell you. Even what Aleph Farms are already creating, the steaks which they're creating look like pennies. They look like nothing. They're not able to create a proper juicy steak yet. Okay. There's still a lot more to say, but
the next one our Mark will be having lab-grown steak.
Part two.
You know what? With cheese. Once they got to the point where they've got visible.
True, yeah. If you had the American, the highly processed stuff, you probably can't distinguish.